I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Welcome to Stargazing, the Dallas Stars podcast that is not afraid to trade a first-round draft pick for an awesome new prospect. And in this case, our awesome new prospect is somebody you've seen before, Derek Neumeyer. How you doing, Derek?
Oh, that's me. I'm the awesome new prospect.
Absolutely. We can bring you in.
Hey, I'm doing well, Mark. Enjoying the last of summer before hockey really gets off in full swing here in the next few weeks. But there's certainly been things to follow and things to stay on top of. So I guess there's really no true summer once you're, deep into this industry.
Oh, yeah. No, it felt so good to walk into Center Ice Arena in Traverse City and just have that sweater on and feel the brisk arena temperature as opposed to the 80 degrees that we had outside.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing quite like it. I was at the rink a few times this summer. I was at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup tournament up in Red Deer in July. Yep. And, it definitely felt kind of nice, actually, to get into a cold rink when it's so, hot outside. And I have to remember that feeling when it's minus 30 up here in Calgary and I'm driving out to the rink for a game then.
Well, let's kind of jump into it. It's Tuesday. We just had a big deal here for Dallas coming in. We have a brand new right-handed defender. What do you think about the deal? Didn't have to lose any prospects.
I quite like it. If you look at the value that exchanged hands going from one team to the other, I think both teams kind of got what they wanted. And I think it's a pretty fair trade overall. Now, Lundqvist was picked 28th overall by the Rangers in the 2018 draft. And since then, I would say his draft stock has only gone up. It certainly hasn't gone down, even though his first year in North America was maybe a little disappointing, and things between him and the Rangers ended maybe a little disappointing. But make no mistake, this guy is a top prospect. He was named the SHL Defenseman of the Year as a 20-year-old, which is
incredible.
Really incredible. That's the sort of thing that you just don't see very often. He had a really good showing at the World Juniors in 2020, where he was a point per game player. He appeared with Sweden at the World Championships before, where he picked up a bunch of points. Like, this guy's really good. He's only 22, but there's a lot of upside to him. He thinks the game really well. He's great with the puck on his stick. Really good creativity and offensive vision. Great shooter for a smaller, lighter kind of guy. Good mobility. He just thinks the game really well. He's really built for the modern type of hockey, to have a guy from the back end who can move the puck well and manage the game. And someone on Twitter tweeted this the other night and I retweeted it. But when you look at, how old Miro Heiskanen is right now and how old Lundqvist is, in 3 years from now, Heiskanen is going to be 26. Lundqvist is going to be 25. And that is a pairing that the Stars could roll out on their top defensive pair. That is a very realistic possibility. Whereas just a few days ago, that question was maybe a little bit more up in the air, because the Stars didn't have anyone who shoots right, who was projected to really take those strides within the next few years. Maybe Harley would have been on the top pair on the left side and Heiskanen would have still been on his right side where he's probably going to be this year and where he was last year. But, this gives the Stars certainly a different look. They also went, right-hand or right-shot defenseman heavy at the draft in 2022, but those guys are still a few years away. You know, with Lundqvist being 22, I think it kind of fits just where the Stars are right now. I think they're looking to take, you know, a step forward in the next couple of years. You know, Ottinger is entering his prime. Heiskanen's entering his prime. Robertson's entering his prime. So I think it made sense for the Stars to add someone like Lundqvist, who is also kind of in the same part of his career as those other guys are. I think the timing of having him makes more sense than the pick that they would have got in 2023 if they would have held on to it.
Right. And you know, to tell you the truth, I think maybe Jim Neal was influenced a bit by how good his recent draft picks played at Traverse City. I mean, certainly on the forward end, the guys that he's stocked up, they're stacked up, you know, Bork, Stankoven, Johnston, even somebody like Strangis, just kind of showed a bit of upside that you kind of anticipated with most of them, but it's nice to see them working it out and showing it on the ice. And then you kind of see he's stocked up, you know, Kyrou looked really good at Traverse City, I thought. And maybe this is Jim Neal taking a step back and saying, we've been very successful in our drafts over the last several years, and maybe we've built up enough depth so that we can go ahead and use one of those draft picks that you know, he tends to hold them pretty close to the vest and use them. But now he's comfortable letting that one go because his cabinet's looking pretty good, and he needed to fill a right-handed defensive role, and this was a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all the most successful teams in the league know when it's time to build and know when it's time to go for it a little bit. Like you look like the Tampa Bay Lightning, for example. You know, they drafted high with Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. You know, Andrei Vasilevsky was a first-round pick. But they reached a point where they realized they wanted to compete. They wanted to win now. Well, they had a window that was open. So they started trading their first-round picks away because they realized they had the core pieces to build around. And when you have a strong core and your window's open, you kind of have to push through it. Colorado is another great example. You know, they built really well for a long time, added, you know, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog. You know, they built a core with their best players, realized that they had a good window to compete, and they went for it. They only had, I think it was two picks in the 2022 draft, but they don't care. I mean, I think they certainly made the right choice. Yeah, and they won a Stanley Cup, right? They traded all those draft picks, but look at the result. You know, they won a Stanley Cup. The timing was perfect for them because the window was open. So it was the right move for them. And I think we're slowly starting to see that happening for the Stars. And I'm not going to say they're going to be a Cup contender this upcoming year, but you're starting to get an idea of what that window looks like. You know, you've got Jake Oettinger, who's a true starting number one goalie. He's got a few good years coming up ahead of him where he's going to be in his prime. You know, Heiskanen's there, Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz. And then you've got a good supporting cast coming right behind them with Wyatt Johnston, Maverick Bork, Logan Stankoven. So it seems like the Stars are starting to approach a window. And I think it makes sense for them to focus on that window with their assets as opposed to, you know, picks that they would make in 2023 or 2024 that wouldn't be part of a championship window for another, you know, 6-7 years.
Right. And let's just take a look a little bit at depth here, because I remember looking 2 years ago at what was the presumed defensive lineup in Cedar Park that was backing up what the Stars had. And you could go through that lineup and really not have an obvious choice of somebody who is what you consider to be NHL ready. And now we're looking at a team that, you know, the defense was kind of weak up at Traverse City, but the only guys who have really a chance of seeing any action at Cedar Park this year were Michael Caro and Dawson Bartow. And to tell you the truth, those guys might be fighting for a number seven spot in the AHL. And so Dallas has stocked up quite a bit of talent, both at the NHL level now and at the AHL level, where you have guys who have played games and demonstrated that they can be successful at that level, just waiting in the wings in case somebody's needed.
And it ties into the Lundqvist trade again, too, right? Like, you have Heiskanen and Harley. You can pencil those two guys into your NHL roster right now. and for the next few years moving forward. But beyond them, you know, there was a gap. You know, they addressed it a little bit in the 2022 draft by drafting Leon Bixell in the first round, Christian Kyrou in the second round, George Spigaris in the third, and then Gavin White in the fourth. You know, all those picks help, but there was still that bit of a gap. You know, after Harley, you know, how far away is Bixell? How far away is Kyrou? Well, they helped, you know, mitigate that a little bit with the addition of Lundqvist. So I think it gives the pipeline, you know, a little bit more balance where there's not quite that gap that there was before. So even though a lot of the young defensemen are still a little bit ways away, you know, I don't think there's a gap like there was before.
Right. And even if somebody like Miller doesn't work out, you have somebody like Butcher who's waiting in the wings. And so you aren't just betting, you know, everything that you have on one guy who is injury prone or who's spent, you know, most of his time maybe on the third pair in the NHL. You have guys who have a decent number of games and have shown that they can be productive at the NHL level. And that goes along. You still have people like, you know, Ben Gleason, Michael Shea, Jared Rosberg, people who you would consider maybe borderline, but who haven't had the chance, but are still waiting in the wings and are, you know, they have a chance to be NHLers, but they're going to be fighting for a job.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's very clear just how important competition is for the Stars right now. You know, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with guys like Gleason and Shea. You know, these guys are capable of becoming, you know, that Joel Hanley kind of player. You know, Hanley's on the wrong side of 30 now. He's under contract this year. He'll be a UFA next year. But, the Stars have to be looking at guys who, you know, could be in their mid to late 20s who can come in and play on that seventh or sit in that seventh roster spot on the back end. You know, a guy who, you know, might not draw into the lineup every night, but, you know, he's already kind of developed. It doesn't matter if he's sitting in the press box a lot, not playing. You know, you don't want a 21-year-old as your seventh defenseman sitting up there because that kind of guy needs to play. So, yeah, the competition right now is going to be really fierce. You know, if you're a Ben Gleason or a Ryan Shea, you know, you might not be getting into NHL games this year, but you got to keep your game high. You got to be competitive because you never know if you're going to be able to find a roster spot, you know, later on. Because if you're not working now, you know, there's guys right behind you that are going to pass you really fast.
Right, exactly. And you say even to somebody like Hanley, last year you just kind of inked him into the number seven slot going into training camp. If Hanley doesn't come to play in training camp, there are two or three other guys who could very easily fill that number seven spot up at the NHL level. So again, major competition that's going to be happening here in the next week or two that's going to set the lineup.
Yeah, and not just on defense too, but also at the forwards.
Oh, forwards just as packed.
So what did you think at Traverse City of some of the big names in the Stars organization? You know, we've Maverick Bourque, Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven. You know, these are guys that even though they're younger, you know, if they play well in preseason and have a strong training camp, these are guys who could be pushing for roster spots too. Their chances aren't as high, but what did you think of them and how hard do you think they're going to be pushing and competing for roster spots in the coming weeks?
Oh, I think they're pushing hard. And I mean, you take a look at that tournament in Traverse City and there were certain things, you know, if you want to take a look at how Stankoven can puck handle, he was just shoulders above anybody else on the ice there. I mean, when he wants to make moves and control the puck, he just knows how to do that. Bourque showed talent. I think he had some things, you know, he had a two-way game. He played defense. He has a pretty good slap shot and works off the power play. I'll tell you that power play one for Dallas at Traverse City was just incredible.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all the big prospects, plus you put you know Freddie Karlstrom in the middle, and they scored within 20 seconds. You know, had major chances all over the place, and it was just a joy to watch.
Boy, that can't come soon enough for the Stars, can it?
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, you know, how much time did Neil Graham have to put that kind of stuff together? You know, you could kind of see the growth that unit had from the time they played Toronto on Thursday night to just absolutely blowing out the Blues on Sunday morning. You know, the amount of progress that was made by the group was pretty outstanding.
it was also fun just to watch them because they, it didn't look like they really had too much to learn. You know, Wyatt Johnston was, you know, on the power play where he is in Windsor, you know, on the back right there, you know, kind of quarterback backing things from the blue line to the half wall. You know, Maverick Bork likes to go up high on the left side. You know, these guys, they were pretty comfortable where they were and what they were doing on those roles. You know, even though they didn't have quite the same chemistry as, you know, the guys they play with in their junior teams, it was pretty fun just to see, you know, see them work. It's like, oh, I've seen Wyatt Johnston make that pass many, many times before, and he still got it down.
Right. And you know, what, one of the reasons there was some talk that Stankoven didn't put up big numbers, but some of that was that, you know, he ended up getting paired with a teammate who really needed a little help. And so that maybe took a little away from his game. But, you know, that's kind of the mix and match nature of the whole thing. You know, my favorite development to watch was this, you know, this line with Damiani, Bach and Strangis, who just had some really weird chemistry that was fun to watch. And it just, you know, I never saw anything out of Bach like he did up at Traverse City.
And he was their captain too, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, it was him, and then the A's were Karlstrom and Damiani. But he showed a lot, and you know, what was the guy, the big guy for Detroit, 6'8", Swede.
So Elmer Soderblom.
Soderblom, yeah, I mean, Soderblom kind of had an eye out for Bach the whole time, and Bach just stood up to him.
Oh, those guys didn't know each other from their days in Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, the other thing that was kind of fun to watch, I hadn't seen much up in front, was Damiani has a little mean streak to him that you know, he scores goals, but he likes being a mucker.
Oh yeah, he's competitive, he's feisty, he's not afraid of the dirty arrows of the ice, he's not afraid to battle. And I'm glad that we're talking about that second line because it really exemplifies just how crazy good the depth for the Stars organization is right now. I mean, you look at that tournament, I thought Johnston was good. I thought Bork was good. You know, I thought Stankoven was good. And then he didn't play a lot in the last game. You know, once Dallas got out to a big lead over St. Louis, you know, Neil Graham was playing his fourth line a lot more just to give those guys more of a chance to show themselves. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, the Stars' big prospects didn't need to dominate or take over games for the team to win. You know, you had Stranges scoring a ton of points. You know, Damiani scored a bunch of points. Matei Blumel had a good tournament, including a hat trick in that game against St. Louis. Like, boy, talk about depth with that forward group right now. You know, Bach had a nice showing as well. You know, it's crazy just how much depth has been built in this pipeline.
Yeah, and I thought Karlstrom was sneaky good in that tournament. He did a lot of things to make other people succeed. And you he was the oldest guy in the lineup. You kind of expect that. But he showed it, and he did it in a nice, quiet way where he didn't have to be the guy getting all the accolades. And you kind of like to see that. Here, I mean, Fredrik Olofsson, he's on the NHL roster right now. We haven't seen him do anything here yet. So there's other guys waiting in the wings in training camp that get added to this lineup.
Oh, it's really wild. Like, if you just look up and down, you know, players that are under contract for the Stars, you know, we haven't mentioned guys like Rhett Gardiner and Nick Mano, who were, you know, notable prospects within the organization not that long ago. And have, you know, they've fallen down the depth charts a little bit. You know, they have their work cut out for them to stay competitive. But these are guys who played in the NHL already. These are guys that have been in the minors for a few years. You know, they have that experience that other guys don't. You know, it's not out of the question that one of them could, you know, really prove themselves in camp or early on in the season and fight their way into the competition too. So it's pretty remarkable just the number of players that the Stars have who have either, you know, played in NHL games or are top prospects, or, you know, like Olofsson and Blumel are guys that have been playing professionally in Europe and are now fighting for a roster spot, just like Jacob Peterson did last year. You know, his first year in North America, he found his way onto the NHL roster for most of the season. So it's pretty remarkable. I'm very, very curious to see how these battles are going to shake out and how this roster is going to shake out. And even just even the roster in the AHL too, you know, those guys are going to have a hard time finding ice time and power play time and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, you take a look, you already know that you have McKenzie who's going to be captain down in Cedar Park, but then you have somebody, you know, they brought in Riley Barber as another one of those senior AHL guys who's going to very likely or almost certainly going to take a roster spot. There are some names that we're kicking around here that are going to be eating nachos in Cedar Park just because, you know where are you going to find a spot to play them? We have 14, 15, 16 solid forward prospects and 14 slots.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, I look at the Dallas Stars roster on Cap Friendly, not just necessarily roster, but the guys under contract. I'd say there's 9 players you can pretty much lock into spots in the team. Sagan, Ben, Pavelski, Marchment, Foxa, Hintz, Gurionov, Glendening, Robertson. And then what?
Yep.
You know, those are 9 that you can say are pretty much locked in. And then there's how many other guys that could conceivably fight for spots. You know, you got Kiviranta, you know, Tanner Caro has played there the last couple of years. Marian Studenic came in and had a really good showing as a waiver claim. We haven't even talked about Ty DeLandria, Ryan Tufte.
Right, exactly.
Like, this is crazy. In all my years watching the Stars, I've never seen this kind of depth and competition before. This is unheard of.
Yeah, and you take a look at somebody like Tufte. You know, Tufte takes something less than his qualifying offer just so that he has, that money is not going to be an issue for a call-up. And in fact, he's more likely to get a call-up because he's taken a minimum cap hit. I mean, this, you know, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And Tufte is an interesting name too. You know, he's a little bit older. He wasn't part of this tournament because he's been in the AHL for a while. The Stars already kind of know, you know, what he is, and they don't think he needs to show anything at that tournament. But he's not waiver ineligible now. You know, he will have to pass through waivers if Dallas wants to send him to the AHL. So that could be something to kind of keep an eye out for. You know, do they risk sending him through and have another team maybe pick him up? Do they kind of keep him on the roster as maybe the 13th or the 14th forward where, you know, they don't expect him to play regularly night over night, but, you know, they want to keep him around because they don't want to lose him for nothing. So he's going to be another interesting story in and of itself.
My general bent is to pay at least as much attention to the business side as I do to the hockey side. And the business side is going to be pretty interesting this year with all of the various moves. Because a lot of these guys do have waiver exemptions, but there are a handful that don't. And you know, once that Robertson contract comes in, this team is gonna have to go through some gyrations to be cap compliant.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just saying, you know, the guys who are on these minimum contracts are going to be guys who are getting NHL time because the Stars are going to need to play it real tight to the vest.
Oh, yeah. You look at a guy like, you know, Joel Kiviranta, and you kind of feel bad for him a little bit. You know, he had his big playoffs. You know, scored that crazy goal against Colorado, and he was the hero. He signed a decent contract. You can't fault him for taking the money. You know, he's making – you know, just a little over $1 million a season. But now, you know, that's 250,000 or 300,000 more than a lot of the guys that he's fighting for a roster spot with. You know, if the Stars have the option of keeping Kiviranta, you know, just at just over $1 million on the roster as the number 12 or 13 or 14 forward, and you're comparing that against Studenic or Olofsson or Caro or Tufte, who are all making 750,000 against the cap, you know, it really doesn't work in Kiviranta's favor.
Right, especially since all of that Kiviranta salary can go straight down to the NHL and you don't have to worry about getting a buried penalty. So, you know, that comes into play.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So I wanted to talk again a little bit about Ty DeLandria. I wanted to bring him up because, you know, there's so much talk lately about, you know, the flashy new prospects like Johnston and Bork and Stankoven. But I feel like DeLandria doesn't get enough discussion because out of the young guys who are going to be joining the roster and you know, taking on a real role on the team, I think he is ahead of all of them. I think it's more likely that we'll see a full season out of Dellandrea this upcoming year than any of the others, including Wyatt Johnston. You know, you look at what he did in the AHL last year, he was a top guy for that team. He played in the power play. He played on the penalty kill. You know, you could put him out at the end of a game when you're defending a lead. You know, he can play center. He's comfortable on the wing. There's just so much about him that screams NHL roster player, even if he's just on the fourth line. I mean, Ty Dellandrea is not going to be wasted in a fourth line role. He's going to learn. He's going to accept his role. He's going to keep getting better. And I think he's going to be the rookie to watch this year as someone who's going to be making the team and really, you know, finding his way into one of those key roster spots.
Right. No, I'm fully with you. I remember watching the, you know, he played one game in the NHL last year and he played about 10 minutes. And I just have a distinct memory of looking at his play that one game and saying, he is now NHL ready. And when he played, when he had his stints up with the NHL club before, you know, he got more time, he got more games, but he wasn't ready. And then now I think he is. And so I'm 100% with you there. I think he is probably one of those guys who's going to find himself in the 14 players who are up in the NHL roster.
Oh yeah. And you know, night and day difference, you know, he was capable in the NHL, you know, when he played, you know, in the COVID year and he got in, I think it was 26 games. Like, he didn't look entirely out of place, but he also didn't look fully comfortable. But, you know, it just really goes to show how effective that time in the AHL can be and just how good of a job the Stars have done at, you know, building that strong feeder system down in Cedar Park, right? You know, they gave Dellandrea a chance to take a bigger slice of the pie. They gave him a chance to play up in the lineup. You know, they taught him a lot. And you can see just how much he learned and how far his game grew. And, you know, it's I think it's a really good testament, you know, not just for how good Dellandrea is as a prospect and how well he's done to learn and adapt and, you know, not, you know, pout or anything that he, you know, spent most of the year in the AHL after getting such a strong taste of the NHL. But I think it's a great sign for guys who are going to be there this year, like, you know, Maverick Bork or Oscar Bock or maybe Riley Tufte, Freddie Karlstrom. Like, I think these guys are all going to take, you know, nice strides in their development because the Stars have done such a good job at building a strong developmental system from Cedar Park to the NHL.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Travis Moore and Max Fortunas, having those two right underneath Neil Graham, I think is a pretty strong team down there, and I think they're teaching well, and specifically with Dellandrea's game is he plays kind of a man's game, if you will. He gets in people's faces. He's pretty physical. And it that's kind of hard to do coming into the NHL as a 20-year-old because your body isn't quite ready to back up your mouth. And yeah. And I think he's kind of, you know, at 22 now, he's more fully developed and his game on the ice can hold its own and he can still be comfortable playing that you know, muck in your face game.
Yeah, but I mean, let's not, you know, make a mistake about it. Dellandrea can still offer so much more than that too. You know, he's just a guy who's going to be a mucker and a grinder and a hitter. Like, he's probably going to start his NHL career in the bottom six, but this is a guy who still has genuine offensive upside. You know, he's a guy who could be the second line center for the team, maybe in some case in the future, even a first line center. I mean, he's no stranger to being a first line center. He was the first line center for almost his entire time in the OHL with Flint. You know, he's used to that.
Yeah, had to be.
Yeah. Talk about school of hard knocks. But I mean, he's a guy who had 50 points last year in the AHL. You know, he was one of the top scorers on his team. That's pretty good. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. You know, he's a first rounder. He has talent, but he's also a first rounder who can play on the fourth line. And the nice thing here is, you know, you take a look at the history with Pete DeBoer, and DeBoer tends to roll lines, and he doesn't pigeonhole lines. And so he expects his fourth line to step up and contribute on both ends of the ice, not just get out there and, you know, and wreak havoc for 40 seconds and then go to the bench and watch other people score goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a history of wanting a little bit more balance out of that, you know? Yep. It'll be interesting to see if he deploys like a quote-unquote checking line like we would have seen in the past with, you know, Raffle and Foxa and Glendening. You know, we could still see that sort of thing with, you know, Glendening and Foxa together and maybe Studenich or Tufte on their wing. But, you know, we could also see a lot more diversity than that. You know, have four different lines that are all capable of scoring and defending. Well, I guess I don't expect to see Robertson, Hintz, and Pavelski defending too much, and that's probably fine. But for the other three lines...
I mean, their defense is keeping the puck in the offensive zone.
Yeah. You know, get the puck down into Robertson down low and let him cycle for 30 or 45 seconds. And
yeah, exactly. Great defense.
Wear out the opposition before they're too tired to even get up the ice.
We've seen it enough going at us. It's nice to have a group that can do it to somebody else.
Yeah, it's also going to be interesting to see what the Stars can get out of Denis Garionov this year. You know, new coach, you know, fresh start of sorts for him. You know, maybe he'll be back with the similar line mates and Ben and Sagan primarily, but he's another name that, you know, even though he's in a bit of a different situation and as a 25-year-old, you know, he's got a big cap hit. And, you know, are they going to be able to afford him this or next year, you know, if he plays well or if he doesn't play well, you know, are they going to want him on the roster making, you know, north of $3 million a season if he's not significantly better than the guys who've come up and caught him?
Right, exactly. And yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm kind of hoping that Gurianov gets some time with Ben. I think they have some pretty good chemistry. I think we also saw that at least statistically, Ben and Sagan was chasing fool's gold last year. Their numbers just were not good together. So I'm kind of hoping that we see Sagan on a second line and maybe Ben on a third line and break those guys up and give them some other guys that they can help along. So, you know, maybe Gurianov, Ben, and yeah, Studenich would be nice on the left end, or maybe even somebody like Jacob Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we barely even talked about Peterson. You know, we're treating him like, you know, he's old compared to all these young prospects. Peterson's still 23 years old. You know, he was drafted after Riley Tufte and Frederik Karlstrom. You know, he's still a guy who could have another 10 plus years in the NHL ahead of him. He's still so young. He's only had one NHL year.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, it's amazing to have, you know, you can count, you know, 8 or 10 guys here who could just come out of nowhere and surprise you. You know, Peterson was kind of the surprise last year, but there's, you know, I kind of expect to see a bit of rotation of guys coming up to the NHL, seeing what they got and going back down, especially with the number of guys who are waiver exempt that can do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that the Stars have traditionally, at least in recent years, you know, have shown that they like to do. I mean, you look at last year and all the different players that got NHL time, you know, Tufte was up for a little bit, you know, Riley Damiani was up for a little bit, you know, Delandry had a chance to play, you know, Carlstrom had three games and had a point, you know, Rhett Gardner, you know, completely forgotten, but he dressed for 4 games last season.
Yeah.
You know, and then they added Studenich and, you know, he found a way to stay in the roster. So I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, you get a guy up for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 games, give him a taste, you know, show him, teach him like what the difference is between the AHL level and the NHL level, you know, let him experience it firsthand and then send him back. You know, not only do they go back to the AHL, hopefully a better and more experienced player, but also maybe a little bit hungrier, you know? Once you get a taste of the NHL, it's hard to go back to riding the buses in the AHL. You want to stay up for good.
It's a nice check at the NHL when you get it.
Yeah, even just for a few games, that's, you know, that's a lot of money of difference.
Yeah, exactly. And so, no, I fully expect to see that, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I think with the coaching staff that we have down at Cedar Park, that you know, if they come up and they find some things they need to work on, they'll go back to Cedar Park and work on them. And they'll get active support to do that.
Absolutely. Especially because the organization has done such a good job, you know, kind of syncing the two teams. You know, they've really made a concerted effort to make it as easy as possible for a player to go from the AHL to the NHL. Not only is there familiarity with coaching staff and players, but just the way that they play, you know, what's expected out of the players, you know, they really do want that consistency to make it easy for guys to move up or down.
Now, that leads to an interesting question, because, you know, watching at Traverse City, that group was, every single one of them was on their toes. They were ready to blow the zone. And what's sitting in the back of my mind is that this just the nature of the kind of guys that we had at Traverse City? Or is that maybe a signal that that there's going to be a little transition game and aggressiveness on the offensive end that's throughout the organization?
I think it's a little bit of both, truly. I mean, you mentioned Christian Kyrou earlier as someone who stood out positively. And, you know, he's a guy that I scouted a bit of last year. He wasn't in my region out in the West, so I didn't see him as much as some other prospects. But, you know, I made sure to get looks at him and then went back after Dallas picked him to get some more looks. I mean, this is a guy you couldn't really rein in if you wanted to. You know, he's a guy who wants to be moving. He wants to be in motion. He really wants the puck on a stick. He's not afraid to be aggressive to try and push defenders back on the other team. So, you know, he's the type of guy that he wants to play that up-tempo style of hockey. But to your point, it was nice that, you know, the Stars coaching staff there, you know, led by Neil Graham, they didn't want him to slow down. You know, they didn't want him to back off a little bit. But I think it does come down to just how they've drafted in recent years. And there has been a shift, you know, from where things were like 5 or 6 years ago, what the draft trends were to how they look now. You know, there is a big difference. You look at guys like, you know, Kyrou, Logan Stankoven, Ayrton Martino, Maverick Bourque. Like, these are guys who are on the smaller side, but they're skilled and they're quick. And, you know, the Stars didn't have a lot of that in the past. So it has been nice to see more of a balance being built. You know, they're not shifting completely from one extreme to the other. I mean, you look at Liam Bixel, who's, you know, 6'5" and 220 or 30 pounds. You know, he's built like a linebacker. You know, they still love their guys with size and strength, but it's great to see this balance that's been built. You know, we've been talking about the depth of the organization, you know, the talent at forward, now the talent of young defensemen, and we'll probably talk about the goalies in the second year too. But I also love the balance of styles and strengths that they built. You know, you've got puck moving defensemen and shutdown defensemen. You've got shooters and playmakers. You know, you've got guys who can grind and guys who can beat you with their speed. So it's just truly impressive how strong the prospect pool is also in that way.
What's been missing from the NHL team has been a real solid playmaker. And so I'm kind of looking for somebody other than Jason Robertson to come in and have that second vision where they can create for other people and make opportunities so that we can have goal scoring. And I saw a bunch of that up at Traverse City. There's guys who, you know, Bourque had some amazing plays. He creates offense with his shot. And that's something that I think Sagan probably used to do quite a bit. But we haven't had it in a while. And you know, Johnson, Johnson's whole game is making everybody around him better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, these are guys that are, you know, the top prospects in the team are primarily better at the passing side than the shooting side. I would say Stankoven is more of a shooter than a passer, although he is certainly good at both. But yeah, Bourque is certainly pass first. And Johnston, even though he can score quite well, he's also a guy who's certainly on the pass first side of things.
Yep. But yet you still have room for somebody like Strongis. And I think Strongis' stock went up more than anybody this last week. I think people were concerned that he, you know, everybody loves him because he's got this kind of odd skating style, and we all know that he can snipe, but he put it to real use and showed that he can do it in game situations.
Yeah, Strongis is a really good prospect. You know, I kept tabs on him since he got drafted. I liked him a lot in his draft year. I thought Dallas, you know, got very lucky that he fell to 123rd overall, you know, in the fourth round. I thought he was a guy who certainly could have gone within the first 100 picks. And he had a really strong year in the OHL last year with the London Knights. You know, him and Luke Evangelista really tore it up for that team. Stranges was, you know, well over a point per game in the playoffs. You know, he's a guy who's come along really well. And sometimes you want to draft a guy, not just because of how he is now, but also how he's going to be developed. You know, playing for the London Knights, you know, they're a development factory. No other organization in junior hockey, with the exception now of maybe the Chicago Steel in the USHL, you know, develop talent like the London Knights do. And it was just great watching Stranges last year, because you knew he had to refine some certain things about his game, you know, add some layers to it beyond just the uncharacteristic skating stride. And he did. He, you know, he got better as a goal scorer. He got much better as a playmaker, better as a two-way player. And he's definitely going to be a guy who has an uphill battle over the next couple of years. I don't think he's going to, you know, leapfrog Johnston or Bork or any of these guys, but, you know, don't sleep on him either. In 3 or 4 years, you know, when some of the bigger prospects are already on the NHL roster and there's a spot that's open that's still being competed for, he could certainly be a guy who's pushing for a roster spot.
Right. And like anybody with a specific skill set, if you find the right situation for him, he can thrive. And I think we saw him fall into a situation like that in Traverse City, and he made the most of it.
And he has the same thing with Oscar Bock, right? You know, he's not a flashy guy. He's not going to score a lot of points, but I think it really goes to show, you know, his character that he was wearing the C for that team. You know, he's a shutdown forward. You know, those guys can find roster spots too. You know, you need a guy who can take faceoffs, who can kill penalties, who can be trusted, you know, defending a lead late in the game. But it was also nice to see him at that tournament, because we got to see a little bit more of the offensive flair that he does have. You know, he's no slouch when it comes to the puck on his stick. He knows what to do with it. You know, he doesn't have stone hands. Like, he can make plays with the puck. We just haven't always gotten to see that, because, you know, he always kind of gets pigeonholed into these defensive roles for good reason, because that's what he's best at. But, you know, he's a sneaky good prospect. And I also wouldn't be surprised if he's someone that is able to find, you know, NHL games in the next year or two. You know, if someone like Fox, though, let's say, gets hurt, you know, he's out long-term and the Stars want someone who can kind of come in and do a little bit of the work that Foxa does. You know, Bock is a guy who could fill that mold.
Yeah, I mean, he had one play. He got a primary assist on a Stranges goal in game two, where he took it hard down behind the net and then just found a spot where he could slip it out to Stranges, who just absolutely roofed it. And that was one of my favorite goals of the tournament, because it's like all this action's going on, and at the end of it, Stranges skates over to the side to salute the crowd. There's a Detroit crowd, and there'd just been a fight, and the Detroit guy had kind of got the crowd riled up, and so Stranges had to give a little bit back after that. But in the meantime, Stranges pipes it, and all you really see is Bradley Damiani mixing it up in the middle. You know, little guy setting a screen by pretty much going in and cross-checking any defender that would get in his way. And so that was just, you know, it was just complete chaos, and it worked out wonderfully. It
must have been a little bittersweet for Stranges. You know, he's a Michigan boy himself. You know, that's where he was born and raised. So it's got to be a little weird for him. Now, something we haven't talked about yet with Traverse City was the goaltending.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, brings it a little bit full circle, where we talked about the forwards in the system and the defensemen. What did you think of the goaltending in Traverse City for the Stars?
I saw a little bit of Matt Murray at the end of last season, and he was really good. And he was a little shaky in the first game, kind of easy to understand just because the Stars after the first period got walked. They got a little deer in the headlights as Toronto put a lot of pressure on them. They had a veteran team there, and once they figured out what was going on, they just took control of that game, and Murray suffered the consequences. But you take a look at the beginning of the St. Louis game, the third game, Murray pretty much stood on his head in the first period. Well, the Stars were playing on 14 hours rest, and it took them a while to get their legs. And Murray kept them in that game. And that's the Murray that I've seen. And, you know, he's kind of hard to talk about because he's on an AHL deal. And there are so many other guys on this team who have NHL deals. But as far as I'm concerned, Murray's kind of as far as prospects go, he's the number one prospect out there. I think he's ahead of Adam Scheel on the depth chart, at least as far as what he's showing on the ice. You know, I thought Poirier was, you know, this, as far as I know, this was his first professional game when he started in game two. And he was a little shaky. He was a little nervy, but he didn't have to do a whole lot at the beginning of the game. And as the game progressed along, he got better and better. And he was in control. He has some issues with rebounds right now, from what I could tell. But, you know, I'm kind of viewing that he's going to end up being getting a lot of time with the Steelhead in Boise, and hopefully he gets a lot of time and gets some action in.
Mm-hmm. No, and I would agree with your overall assessment there. It is kind of funny to say, you know, that even though Matt Murray is not on a contract with Dallas, whereas Adam Scheel and Remy Poirier are, I would say Murray is, you know, the front runner for those three right now, for, you know, eventually working his way into NHL action. You know, Scheel, you know, I liked him in junior. I liked him in college. There's still some things about his game that really worry me. And, you know, those demons did show themselves a lot in the AHL last year. There were games where he did not last very long before getting pulled. You know, he couldn't stop anything. So there's still, you know, still tools there to work with. And Poirier, he's okay. You know, he was a 6th-round pick. You know, was good in the QMJHL, but that's also not a league that's really known for developing goalies right now. You know, it was worth signing him. Let's see what he can do. We'll give him time in the ECHL this season. But Murray's the guy that I keep coming back to, is the one that I'm really interested in. You know, he played a lot in college. You know, he had a very successful college career. Now, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest, but he's really consistent. And sometimes, you know, if you're looking at a guy you want to pencil in as a backup goalie in the NHL down the road, I mean, I'd take consistency over anything else, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I look at at this level is just, you know, do they act like they know what they're doing and are doing things with a purpose? And Murray strikes me as somebody who makes purposeful motions. And you know, a lot of guys get a little nervous. They start moving around. They don't maintain their position properly, and that's how they get into trouble. And you know, I kind of felt the same way back with Thomas Scholl, who got a little bit of a look at the AHL level, but was just never he was never quite big enough to make it go. But he always seemed like he was in control of the game. And he took it as far as he could. And I think Murray is just, he's bigger, he's better, and somebody who's going to be in control. I think he's ultimately going to deserve a shot to come in and maybe be a number two.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even though he's not on a contract with Dallas right now, I mean, you have to know that they're thinking about it. You know, if it comes to the case where Murray becomes the guy this year in the AHL, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Anton Hudobin, where he's going to play. But if Murray is there all season and he shows himself well, and he was on a 2-year deal, actually. So he'll be around next year too, probably with the Texas Stars. You know, if he plays well, the Stars aren't going to be shy about signing him and keeping him around. And since he'll know the organization, he'll probably be more inclined to stick around. So for all intents and purposes, I mean, I kind of look at him as an official prospect. You know, I don't always do that with guys who are on AHL deals, because usually, you know, their odds are so much worse. But with Murray, I fully look at him as a Dallas Stars prospect, even though he's technically not one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the Stars are what, they have 6 goaltenders on NHL contracts right now or something ridiculous like that. And so adding a 7th might not make sense. But as long as he's getting his time and getting his reps, and, you know, even if they're running 1A and 1B in Cedar Park with him and Scheel, I'm okay with that.
And if he plays well, they're not going to let him go. They're going to keep him around. Or at least they're going to try to keep him around, you know, if he becomes a starter next year, he'll probably have, you know, more than one offer for, you know, signing an NHL contract. But, you know, the Stars, they didn't sign him for a 2-year deal if they didn't actually believe organization wide, because there's such an overlap between how Dallas is run and how the Texas Stars are run. You know, he wouldn't be on a 2-year contract if they didn't see him as a guy who could be, you know, pushing for an NHL job at some point in the future.
No, I fully agree. Okay. Well, I think that kind of covers the whole team. Who, give us our surprise to look for as the roster gets set for the beginning of the year. Who's kind of sitting in the back of your mind as somebody who's going to show up that we weren't anticipating?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, we've kind of talked about a lot of these guys already. I'm a little nervous about the odds for, you know, Stankoven and Bork, just because, you know, the cap situation, the math of it all, it just kind of, it makes sense to not have them on the roster. You know, Stankoven can go back to junior, you know, Bork can go and, you know, be a guy, a top guy in the HL. You know, I'm fully confident in Ty DeLandre being up there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there all season. A surprise one. You know, I'm going to say Oscar Bock. You know, I could see him being a guy who, you know, if he does well in camp, and you know, he's a guy who's got a lot of professional hockey under his belt. You know, he played pro in Sweden for a while. He had a good year, if not a great year, in the AHL. And he just has that specialty. You know, he can be a shutdown center, a penalty killer, you know, a fourth line center on a team. I think because of his ability to play a specific kind of role, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up playing some games. I wouldn't say it's more likely that he makes it over someone like Peterson or you know, DeLange or Tufte. But you know, if I were to talk about like a long shot, like a guy that could be a real sleeper, that would be my sleeper pick.
No, I like that, and I think, you know, if I wasn't looking for a sleeper, I think we probably both agree that DeLandre is kind of the guy that doesn't get mentioned who's going to see NHL action. I'm going to kind of throw out a Matty Blumel.
Oh yeah,
I think you know, for a lot of the same reasons you had there. He's played professional. He's at a point where he's not intimidated by the situation, and he brings certain things to the game that the Stars need. And I think he could thrive in a fourth line role, which is where the spots are going to be.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of ties into what we were talking about with DeBoer and how he likes to roll four lines. You know, Blumel doesn't have any true standout strengths, I would say. You know, that's not necessarily a knock against him because he's really well-rounded. I don't think there's a lot of weaknesses to his game. You know, his skating is okay. His shot's pretty good. You know, he can play defensively. You know, he's not a guy that'll wow you, but he's just a really solid hockey player, shift over shift. And, you know, like we were just been talking about, he's got pro experience. He's played for, you know, his home country at the World Championships, and he had a good showing there. So, yeah, I think that's another really good sleeper pick. You know, maybe not a front runner, but, you know, if he does end up playing a couple of games this season in the NHL, I won't be surprised, and it seems like you won't be either.
Yep, agreed. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap. Why don't you let the people know here, how do they follow you? What's your, what, you know, you keep switching titles. What's your official title now?
Yeah, I did switch things up a little bit. I was with FC Hockey for a while now, and I really loved my time there. I was, you know, the head crossover scout for a while. And then this past year I was the head Western scout. But I've recently accepted a new position with McKean's Hockey. You know, might be a name that more people recognize. They've been in the industry for a long time, releasing draft guides and their annual yearbook, which you used to be able to find on magazine racks and stuff like that. So I'm with them now. I'm their assistant director of scouting. So kind of like the right-hand guy to the guy who runs the prospect side of things there. And also the senior West regional scout. So I'm based out of Calgary up here in Western Canada, and I'm still going to be going to a lot of junior hockey games. You know, I'm credentialed with the Calgary Hitmen, so I'm there a lot. I go to AJHL games here and there. So I'll be watching a lot of WHL hockey. That'll be my primary focus. But as the assistant director of scouting, I'm going to be trying to keep tabs on, you know, all of the top prospects for the 2023 draft. I mean, I'll have this knowledge that I guess I won't be able to share with Stars fans if they're not picking in the first round in 2023, but that's okay. True. You can still find me on Twitter at Derek_N_NHL.
Ah, love it. And always a good follow. And those of us who've been around defending Big D a long time, we loved what you did then. And we're glad that you still have this itch of a fascination of following Stars prospects, because we love hearing your opinions on it.
Oh, why, thank you. And I always like to look at my coverage of the Stars as, you know, just extra research for me. You know, I've scouted so many of their players, you know, before they were drafted. And, you know, I think it makes sense to have a team that you follow a little extra closely, because development is so important too. It's not just drafting. It's not just, you know, you pick a guy and then 4 years later, he magically shows up on your NHL roster. You know, development's a big part of it too. So I'm going to continue following the Stars and their prospects, just because I find I learn a lot from the development side of things by following the team. So I'm going to keep doing that. And, you know, if you're on Twitter, I'll be tweeting a lot about Stars prospects throughout this year and, you know, probably every year going forward.
That sounds great. Well, and for the podcast, I think we're going to try and do a post-training camp podcast next week. So hope you enjoyed this one and look forward to having something ready for you next week.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis, but Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.